81% of customers say a positive customer experience increases the chance of them making another purchase. If you want to learn how to make your customer experience golden for your clients, listen to today's episode. Lady bosses, are you working even after putting the kids to bed but still not getting results?
Are you tired of spending money on ads that aren't getting engagement?
Do you feel burdened that you aren't fulfilling your purpose in life because you are so consumed with work?
I'm your host, Brooke Boltz. I'm an attorney and founder of Boltz Legal. I started my business and in 1 year was bringing in seven figures and am now bringing in multi seven figures.
And I'm your co-host, Rachel Boltz, owner of Boltz Media. I've helped many businesses build their online presence and increase their revenue through digital marketing.
Want to hear how we did it?
We are here to help you achieve your goals personally, professionally, and spiritually.
So kick off your high heels, sit back, and let's ignite that passion.
We're Miss Biz, where we're putting the miss in biz.
Let's get biz done.
One of the worst customer service experiences I had was at a fast food restaurant, and my children were really small. We had just went swimming and we went to this restaurant and it took over 40 minutes for us to get our food, despite me continuously asking the staff. And it wasn't until I asked for my money back and threatened to leave that they actually provided me with the lunch.
I just thought of a negative customer service experience that I had also. It was a friend of mine's birthday. And so there was a group of women who were getting together to go have a spa day at this really nice spa. And we had to call in advance to reserve our massage therapist. And in doing so, one of the women was bringing her 16-year-old daughter, and she told them on the phone her daughter was 16, so they were asking her, do you want a male or female masseuse? And she said, I'd like a female for my daughter because she's a minor. And so we got there the morning of, everyone's ready in their swimsuits because we were gonna do the pool experience, the hot tub, all these things. We go to check in and they say, how old is the minor? And she says, 16. And they said, oh, she's not allowed to come in.
I would be so upset as a mother, especially if like it had been clarified ahead of time, to be told that during the data service.
So there's a whole group of women who are here to celebrate a birthday. We've driven from about an hour to get to this particular spa, and they said, you can't come in. And so everyone was just very distraught about this experience, but not only that they wouldn't let us in, they wouldn't give us our money back. They said we could rebook for another day without any cancellation fee, but wouldn't give us our money back. And I was just sitting outside and all of the women were one by one talking to the manager, trying to convince him to give us our money back, because outside of it being a birthday get together, no one's going to just drive an hour on some random day to come get a massage, right, and hang out at the spa. Like, this was a special event. And so everyone tried, the manager wouldn't do it. So I went in and talked to him, did some legal conversation, ended up getting our money back. And actually, I can tell you how I did that, too, because that might be of interest to some people. I said, look, these people are fans of this spa. Every time there's someone's birthday, they come. This is their favorite way to celebrate. If you don't give them their money back, they will never be here again. But if you do give them their money back, they will let bygones be bygones and will understand it was a misunderstanding this time. And they will leave with having had a negative experience, but not so negative that they wouldn't come back. And they will come back again the next time they have a celebration. So how do you want them to leave? Leave never coming back again, or leave just recognizing there's a misunderstanding and still willing to come back? And so he agreed to give the money back. And so we did get our money back, but it was definitely a negative experience. and something that has stood out in my mind for quite a while.
And that, folks, that is the reason why you need to hire Bolts Legal for all of your legal needs.
So today is going to be a podcast full of statistics because this is an important topic. I think that we all generally think, yeah, we have a good customer experience. Our clients are happy. We treat them well. But are we doing as much as we could do? Are there ways that we could improve? I'm a believer that we can always be improving. So we've got a lot of statistics today. So hope that you enjoy that. Might want to write some of these down or rewind and listen to them again. But why is customer experience important? I think we all agree on that, but I don't know if we realize how important it is.
So 88% of buyers say experience matters as much as the company's product or services. And 81% of customers say that a positive customer experience increases the chance of them making another purchase. So this goes hand in hand with what you had just mentioned with your experience at the spa. If someone has a negative experience, there's a probability that they might not do business with you in the future.
Yes, but even more importantly, they'll come back. If they have a positive experience, they will come back, which is what we all want. 61% of consumers will pay at least 5% more if they know they will get a good customer service experience. Do you have an example of that?
Yeah, the first company that I think of is Publix. So when I compare Publix to, like, let's say Walmart or even Aldi's, you are always going to be ending up paying more at Publix than pretty much anywhere else. But why do people shop at Publix? It's because of their customer experience. You know, when you go to Publix, if you need assistance, somebody's not only going to be available to help you, but they're going to do it with a smile on their face and try to go the extra mile to see if there's anything else that you need. Even if you are checking out, they always ask you, would you like help out to your car? So they are always going the extra mile to make shopping a pleasure.
And Publix, too, always part of the customer service experience or the customer experience is about the products that you're offering. So they have a lot of really good brands. They make sure that their produce is fresh and in good condition. They make things easy in terms of ordering your subs or pre-made things that you can grab quickly on the go. They do a lot to have a first-class customer experience that is a reason why I have continuously shopped at Publix, even though I know it's definitely more expensive than other options. So the next part of this analysis is to look at yourself and say, well, how are we doing with our customer experience? And again, I think we're all would say we're doing good, we're doing fine. But how do consumers see us as what we're doing? And so there's some other statistics on that.
Yeah, 54% of consumers say that brands treat customer service as an afterthought, meaning that they don't really think about it until after the fact. And, you know, you should really be making sure that your customer service experience is great from the initial first impression until the very end and even thereafter. They also say that 49% of customers had more bad customer service experiences in the past year compared to the year before. And that is a statistic from Amazon. So that's showing that customer service is getting worse as time evolves.
Yes, and 56% of consumers say most companies treat them like numbers. And that's certainly true of many brands out there. So these are things to think about. Are your customers coming away thinking they're just a number?
I mean, I felt that way. After visiting certain locations or certain businesses, I felt like, well, they just want my money. That's all they really care about. They don't really care about who I am as a person. And there's a lot of different factors that come into play. Like I know, for example, doctors, right? They are so overbooked that they really don't have a lot of time to spend more than sometimes 15, 20 minutes per patient. But you have to think about, okay, well, what else can I do if I have no control of how I'm being scheduled? What else can I do to make the customer know that I care about them?
Right. There's ways, even if you have limited time, to still make the customer feel important and feel appreciated. And this is a complaint, too, of big law firms, right? That they're just a number. They're just trying to make money off my case. They don't care about me and what I am going through. And this is a big, big argument or big advertising explanation that I give a lot of times for my smaller firm, is that you have more of a personalized customer experience. You are not just a number of one among thousands of other cases.
Yeah, it's so true. You have to remember that your customers are the reason why you are able to exist and have the type of life that you have. So it's important to make sure that you let them know how much you appreciate them throughout the entire process, not just thanks, see you next month type of philosophy.
62% of companies don't respond to customer service emails.
That's ridiculous. When I saw that statistic, I was blown away. Like, that is more than half of companies who don't even respond to customer service complaints.
How many emails have you sent to Facebook that never got responded to?
Well, it's so funny because I was just thinking about that, but yeah, numerous.
Yeah, when I got hacked out of Facebook, I emailed them so many times, and some of them didn't get responded to, some of them did, but none of them were very helpful. The average response time for a customer service request is 12 hours and 10 minutes. So if that's an email response, I don't think that's bad, but if that's sitting on the phone, waiting on hold for 12 hours, that's not a great customer service experience.
That's like calling an insurance company. That's how long you wait.
Yeah.
On the phone.
Calling a lot of helplines.
Yeah. But still, I mean, that to me, and I think that there's ways now, especially with automation, that we're able to, as business owners, kind of modify that response time. Because if somebody submits a particular type of form on your website, then you can have it programmed to send a certain response, just confirming receipt, to let the customer know that it's been received and acknowledge them.
Yeah, I do appreciate getting an email at least telling me that they got it. Because at least I know they got it. And then once I receive that, I don't mind waiting a while for the actual response.
If you enjoy the Miss Biz podcast, but still have questions or need advice, we have some exciting news for you. Join us for Miss Biz Connects. Miss Biz Connects is a weekly 1-hour Zoom call on Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is 1 hour each week dedicated to you. We want to meet you and put our brains together to help you grow personally, professionally, and spiritually.
To access the meeting link, visit us on our social media pages at Miss Biz Podcast or send us an email to missbizpod@gmail.com.
Join us this Friday and let's grow the Miss Biz Nation.
Another statistic says that 65% of consumers have needed to follow up more than once to get their question resolved. That's ridiculous.
Well, I know I've done that many times, having to follow up over and over and over again to get something resolved. And so, you know, even though we think we might be doing a great job, do any of these statistics apply to you? Are these resonating? Are alarm bells going off in your head saying, yeah, my customers probably have said some of those same things? And I was also surprised when we go in this next set of expectations that customers actually have pretty high expectations for what they're expecting from us. Some of them we might even say are a little bit unrealistic. But in general, customers want convenience and they want connection. So even though they may feel like a number, that's not what they want. They want to feel connected to the brand. And so here's some of the statistics.
52% of consumers expect to get their question answered within 1 hour of posting it on a brand's digital channel.
That's one of those unrealistic ones, I think.
Yes. Especially, like, if they're talking about a brand's social media channel, like, it is very difficult to stay on top of all of the different messages and comments that come in, especially if you're getting a bunch of them flooded all at once, within an hour.
Right. If there's like a chat bot type thing on the website that you can communicate with right away and it's sending responses to you, then you could probably get a response in an hour if the chat bot's able to answer it. Sometimes they'll then say, okay, you have to speak to a actual person, and then that can have a hold time or a wait time that's much longer. Or if you call on the phone and you can speak to someone directly without waiting for too long, you might be able to get your question answered in an hour. But in general, if you're sending someone an email, to expect an answer that resolves your problem in an hour probably isn't realistic. But that's 52% of consumers who have that expectation. The good news is that 93% of customers expect a brand to reply to them within 24 hours. So almost everyone expects to have a reply within 24 hours, which I think is more realistic. That's my policy at my law firm, is that every client email, phone call, or whatever has to be returned within 24 business hours. I think that's more realistic, and I'm glad to see that that's the expectation of most customers.
And there's also automated responses that you can set up with your, like, Messenger app on Facebook, for example, and Instagram as well. You can have an automated response that is personalized from you that says, thank you for your inquiry. We'll reach out to you momentarily, or, you know, as soon as possible. So there are different tools, and you can set the same thing up for your email as well. If you know that you're going to be in a meeting, you can set that up so that at least they're getting some type of confirmed receipt or response.
These numbers, though, I think are more expectations of people to actually have their question answered. So those automated things are great. That gets them an immediate acknowledgement that you got it, but I think people are still expecting to have their substantive question answered within the 24 hours.
73% of customers expect companies to understand their unique needs and expectations. So this I can understand, because every individual, every business is different, and there's going to a lot of times be a unique strategy that's applied depending on the industry, obviously. So this, I think, is really important and should take place during those initial discovery calls to really find out, like, okay, what is your goal, and what are some limitations that you're encountering now, and then figure out a strategy to overcome that and reach their goals.
83% of customers expect to interact with someone immediately upon contact. So this one was kind of gave me some pause, because I was thinking to myself, well, my phone system does have a push one to talk to her, push two for this type of case. Like, it's an automated system that takes people to different contacts. But I was asking myself, if 83% of people want to interact with someone immediately upon contact, maybe that's not the best solution. Maybe that's something that we do after hours, but during business hours, someone needs to be picking up the phone to answer those calls. Because when I thought about it, there have been times where I get to one of those automated machines and I got to push this and push that, and I'll just hang up and say, forget it. You know, I'll call someone else, because it's too convoluted and confusing to get through to anyone. So as good as automation can be, it appears it can also be a deterrent.
I agree with this 100%. I got new health insurance at the beginning of the year, and I have been trying for weeks to get a hold of their new pediatrician to set up a new patient appointment. Every time that I've called, it always says, press 1 to make a new appointment, press 9 to leave a voicemail, and nobody, you could never speak with a human. And I actually said this morning, if I can't get a hold of them early in the morning, or they don't call me back today, I'm going to call my insurance company and find a different pediatrician because I need to get their appointments made. And so that is so important to be able to have that human interaction. It really is. And I think nowadays too, like, we're just so over it. You know, every time we call someone, we have to listen through this sometimes minute or two list of options before we can get where we want to go.
I've had times where I'm listening to those options and I get distracted by something else.
Oh, I hate that.
And then I'm like, oh, shoot, I don't know which one to push.
And then you
I got
to listen
to it again.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, because that's how short my attention span is now. I'm even just to sit there and listen through the whole menu, my attention span is going on to other thoughts.
That's because you're trying to get biz done. You're trying to multitask. Yeah. So I don't really blame you there. But yes, I can understand where that statistic came from.